Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. All right. Good evening, everybody. This is End Time Headlines, and I want to give everybody just a moment to hop on here. And we're going to pull up the Facebook page here as well so that I can follow along with you. So we're going to give just a second for everybody to hop on here. It is Wednesday night, and it is around, we're going to say 8 p.m. Eastern. So we're hoping that more and more of you guys will hop on here. Take just a second. I just want to share with you guys real quick, and I saw that Jessica's on here as well, so our admin is on here. So here's what we want to do, guys. First of all, if this is your first time joining us, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. We thank you for hopping on here with us live on this Wednesday night, brother. And if you're new to the broadcast, please let us know below. Comment with, say, I'm new, or put a waving emoticon or something that we know that you're new to the broadcast. If you can do that for us, I appreciate that. And we're gonna get as many people as we can in here. And I know some of y'all is wondering what kind of word is this, because you see the title and this is what's drawing you in here to this. So this morning, and I hate to break it to you, but this is not a prophetic end time word tonight. This is a personal prophetic word for somebody. This morning when I was in my devotional time, I was hanging out in Genesis 12 and Genesis 13, and I felt the Holy Spirit really draw something out that really spoke to my heart. But I knew by the magnitude of the way the Lord was dealing with me, I knew that this wasn't just a personal word, but I believe it was a corporate word for somebody tonight. So if you're watching tonight, as we get into this word, if this is your word, then hey, you know what? As the saying goes, if the shoe fits, wear it, because I believe this is for somebody tonight. So I want to minister for a few minutes, guys. Give me about 20 minutes, 25, somewhere between 20, 30 minutes, okay? Stop trying to force people to stay in your destiny. Again, stop trying to force people to stay in your destiny. Genesis 12, Genesis 13 is where we're going to be hanging out tonight. Many of you guys know this this story, this backdrop. Here we have Abram that the Lord speaks to. He's beginning to establish his covenant with him. He tells Abraham a few things here. Number one, in Genesis 12, he says, get out of your country. He says, you're going to get away from your family, your father's house. He says, I'm going to bring you to a location you're not familiar with. You're going to travel uncharted territory. You're going to be a pioneer. You're going to pioneer in uncharted territory. He says, and when you get there, he says, I'm not going to give you every detail, but as you go along, I will show you things. He says, and here's what he says. Watch this. He begins to reveal Abraham's destiny. He gives Abram, but it's, we know this is Abraham. He begins to speak to him prophetic destiny. Somebody say prophetic destiny. He says, I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. And so much so that I'm going to actually bless those who bless you, and I will actually curse those who curse you. And from your seed will come a great nation. Now, how many believes that's a powerful prophetic word? Okay? Now watch. So the Bible says, in verse 4 of Genesis 12, that Abraham departed. Oh, I said he departed. In other words, he began to walk out what the prophetic word spoke to him to do. Oh, let me say that again. You say, well, what do I do when I get a prophetic word? Well, you do like Abraham. You give your faith legs and you begin to walk out your purpose. Come on, whatever that word is, if that's a word for your business, if that's a word for your ministry, if that's a word for your family, a word for your marriage, a word for your health, you begin to walk it out. You begin to walk in obedience. And it says that Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Now watch this. In Genesis 12, it says, and Lot went with him. Somebody say that Lot went with him. Okay, now who was Lot? Lot was Abraham's nephew. And of course, Abraham was Lot's uncle. So their blood, come on, their family. How many believes this is a whole other level when we're talking about friends or acquaintances versus family? So this, they have the same blood here. They have their family. You can't get any closer than this. And as they go on, as Abraham is pursuing his destiny, somebody say his destiny. You got to get this in your spirit tonight. Watch this. As they departed from Haran, not only did Lot go, but of course, Abraham's wife went, Sarah. And the Bible says, and all their possessions. So they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the tabernacle tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. Now stop right here. I want to show you something. Notice that the revelation of Abraham's destiny was progressive. Oh, I got to say this again. Notice Abraham's prophetic destiny, or the prophetic word over his destiny, was progressive. The Lord didn't give him all the details at one time. He waited, and then when Abraham stepped out in faith, little by little, the Lord began to reveal progressively the greater picture. See, we know in part. What's the word of God say? We see in part. We know in part. We prophesy in part. We see temporary. There's temporal things that we don't understand, that we see in the now, but we're dealing with the God who is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the whole picture. Okay? So as Abraham was obedient and he began to step out, you got to see this progression. Notice he's got his circle with him. This is important when we get into this message tonight. He's got his circle. He's got his entourage. He's got his folks with him that he's traveling with on this destiny. And as they begin to travel, as they begin to progress towards his destiny and towards his purpose and the fulfillment of the prophetic word, the Lord stops him. Watch this. And the Lord appears to him and says, your descendants, I will give this land. In other words, where your foot is, I am going to give this, not just to you. In other words, Abraham, oh, come on, somebody. The word I'm giving you is not just for you. It is for, come on, it is generational. Oh, come on, somebody get that tonight. When God gives you a prophetic word, whatever it is, whatever, it's an exhortive word, it's an edifying word, it's a word of encouragement, it's a blessed word. It's not just for you. It's not just to make you happy. It's not just to get you out of a bad mood. It's not just to turn your bad day around, or you've had a bad week and God just wants to make you feel better. When He gives you a prophetic word dealing with your destiny, it is not just solely based upon you alone, but it's based upon you and your whole household and your descendants. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen to this. Watch this. So he says, so when the Lord speaks to Abram and says, your descendants, I will give this land. And he begins to reveal this. Notice what it says. It says he built an altar to the Lord. He began to make a monument. He began to worship the Lord. He began to consecrate that place. And then he moved. Here he goes. So now he's moving again. He's progressing towards his destiny. From there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel, which is, by the way, the house of God. on the west and Ai on the east. Notice he didn't, oh, come on. Abraham didn't avoid the house of God. He went to the house of God. Some of y'all think that God is obligated to bless you outside of his will, outside of his purpose, outside of his boundaries, and outside of the blueprints of what he's given you. Come on. Some of y'all call yourself Christians, but you won't step foot in a church. You won't go into a gathering of other believers. Oh, I understand that we are the ecclesia. We are the church. But I'm telling you, Bethel is the house of God. Notice Abraham didn't forget the house of God in his destiny. It's foolish to think that we can do things outside of God's ordained blueprint of how he's orchestrated things, and God's going to bless it. Come on, somebody. Listen, I want to be in a house of God where the Holy Ghost is moving, where there's people gathered together and they have one mind and one accord, and there's testimonies being shared. People are encouraging one another. There's signs, wonders, and miracles happening. Listen, and you say, well, I can't find that where I'm at, Brother Ricky. Then keep looking, keep asking, keep searching, keep knocking. Come on, somebody. Find a house church if you have to. But somewhere out there, there is a refuge. There is a location. There is a tabernacle for the remnant that you can find. Obadiah had to hide some prophets in the cave for a season. So whatever you got to find, gather together with other believers, even more so as you see the day approaches. So notice he builds an altar at the house of God. And then he goes on and notice there was a famine in the land. So here comes famine. There was a severe famine. I love this. This is so powerful. Some of y'all ain't even going to get this because of your mindset and your traditions in your head that you've got this stronghold. But notice there's a severe famine that breaks out in the land. But your Bible says that Abraham, verse 16, was treated well. Come on, he was treated well with sheep and with oxen and with male donkeys and female servants and female donkeys and camels. All through this famine, Abraham was not moved. He was not moved in his prosperity. He was still blessed of the Lord regardless of the stock market. Come on. Regardless of the circumstances. Regardless if the company was going under. Regardless if the company was about to fold. Regardless of the circumstances around him, it did not dictate who he was connected with and in covenant with. Come on. And the blessings were still flowing regardless. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let's go to Genesis 13. Listen, watch what it says, because I haven't even got to the circle part yet. I haven't even got to the point of where I want to get to. I'm just getting there slowly. Come on, progressively. And then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Now you would think when Abraham left Egypt during a famine, come on, during a recession, during a depression, you think that when Abraham left, he's not going to have two nickels to rub together. He's not going to have a pair of socks to put on his feet. He's not going to have any shoes to put on his feet. He's not going to have a shirt to put on his back. He's not going to have any food. He's not going to have anything with him because, after all, they were in a famine. They were in Egypt. But look what it says. First of all, it says Abraham went up from Egypt and he was still with his wife. Come on. And all that he had, and Lot was still in his circle. So watch this. He still got the same entourage. He still got the same circle of people that he had in the beginning. But watch this. It says in verse 2, Abraham was very rich in livestock. I know some of y'all want to blot that out. And you want a translation that don't tell us that. But it says Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. In case you say, well, I don't believe he was prosperous in financially. Well, he was rich in livestock, rich in silver, and rich in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. Come on. Oh, I just want to tell somebody, There ain't nothing wrong with God prospering you as long as you don't forget where it started. Golly. Notice Abraham went back to the beginning. He went full circle and went back to where it began. He went back to where the encounter of God was. He went back to where he made a covenant with God. He went back to where he had where the presence was there, where the altar was built, where God began to bless him. God began to prosper him. God began to seal him. God began to send him. God began to commission him. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll never make any apologies for what God has blessed myself, my family, and our ministry over the years, because I don't forget where we came from. I don't forget where my wife and I came from. I don't forget where we came from when we were married. I remember when we had that one bedroom apartment in the middle of the ghettos of a certain city, and we didn't have enough food that we didn't know how we was going to eat the rest of the week. I remember that. And I remember how God brought us through that. I remember how we made an altar to the Lord, and we kept going to the house of God. We kept tithing. We kept doing what God told us to do. And as long as we remained faithful in our obligation of the covenant, God sought us through. He was faithful and came through on his end of the covenant. And watch this. It said, and he went to the place of the altar which he made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot was with him. The circle was still with him, who went with Abraham. And Lot also had flocks, herds, tents. And listen, the Bible says the land was not able to support them. Woo! You know what this tells me? Some people in your family are blessed in your circle because you have a covenant with God. Oh, come on, somebody. They don't tithe. They don't honor God, that you can't get them to go to church, and God, and you, and time after time, God has bailed them out of this. God has brought them through on that. A job came when it shouldn't have came. They should have got a pink slip, but they didn't. They didn't get laid off, but somebody else did. Come on, somebody, this, that, God spared them through this and that. And it was, when you begin to seek the Lord, you'll discover that it was because you had a covenant with God, and God was blessing them on the account of your presence. So whoever's in your circle can reap the benefits of your blessing. But there comes a time that, oh, come on, somebody. There comes a time when somebody's going to have to get out of your circle and get and begin to create their own circle. You can only go on the coattails of somebody so long. You can only reap the blessings of mommy and daddy and grandpa and grandpa. Come on, and your pastor and your leadership. You can only, come on, pull in on the coattails of somebody else's blessings for so long of hanging around with them. But there comes a time when you got to get off the bottle and get into the meat and begin and stop crawling and begin to walk with the Lord and get your own circle. Watch this. So it says the land was not able to support them. Watch this. This tells me, here's what the Lord was speaking to me this morning. Many times in our walk, in our journey, the people that we started with, come on, just begin to think with me for a second. I don't know who started out with you in this thing. You may have had 25 people. You may have had 3 people. You may have had 12 people. But I do know this, that more than likely, the people that you began with is probably not the same people that you're going to end with. And it's not because they're going to die. That's the logical equation to this. I'm talking about the people that you used to run with, that you were in a circle with, are probably not the same people that you have today. Now, why is that? Watch this. The land was not able to support them. Can I say it like this? Because remember, the Lord said, I'm going to bless this land. I'm going to give this land to your descendants. Come on. I'm going to say it like this. The destiny that's on your life is not able to support some of the people that you have a circle with right now. Golly, let me say it again. The destiny that's on your life is not able to sustain the people that you have in your circle right now, or you did have. Some of you is did, some of you are, and some of you are going to be, depending on where you're at. And you say, can you elaborate a little bit more? Sure. When I first started out, I had a young man that led me to the Lord. He was my best friend. We ran together. We went to church together. He prayed me into the kingdom. He was one of my best men at my wedding. He was there when my firstborn child was born. He was there when my mother passed away. We were like Jonathan and David. We were kindred spirits. But somewhere down the road in my destiny, the Lord began to deal with me. And he began to speak to me and said, it's time for you. And that brings me to I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to come back to this point. He began to speak to me and said, it's time for you to separate yourself from this individual. This individual can no longer be in your circle. I didn't want to hear that, so I ignored it. I suppressed it, and I kept going on with this individual. Come on, I kept Lot with me. After all, this was a brother to me. We had a relationship as friends. We were kindred spirits. After all, I grew up with this guy. He led me to the Lord. He was a mentor to me. But the Lord was dealing with me and said, no, it's time that you remove him from your circle. And I didn't understand. And I kept suppressing. Well, let me tell you what happened later. I'm not going to go into great detail about this out of wisdom. But eventually, he ended up yielding to an unclean spirit, lying devils, seducing spirits. And it pulled him completely away from God. And he's no longer serving God. Now, he will tell you he is, but he's living an abominable lifestyle that God is not obligated to bless, walking in abominations to the Lord. And the night that this was revealed to me, my heart was broken. I was devastated. But when all the emotionalism cleared away, when all the tears dried up, and I began to pray and seek the face of the Lord began to remind me, I told you a long time ago that you was going to have to separate from this individual. He was going to have to come out of your circle. And now I knew why. And because, listen to me, I'm trying to help somebody tonight. And because I was not willing to listen and I wasn't being obedient to the Holy Spirit, it cost me a lot of heartache and pain. Now, by force, the Lord took him out of my circle. And that's the second. Let me read on the rest of this and I'm going to finish with this. All right, let me get back to the verse here. He says, the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen's and Abraham's livestock, the herdsmen's of Lot's livestock. Now look, I want to say this, guys. This is not implying that Lot was a bad person. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Because many times, just because God takes somebody out of your circle doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It just means that he has a different destiny for them or a different walk for them. See, I've walked this out for years, guys. I've tried to force relationships because I wanted to have a relationship with somebody. I wanted them to talk to me. I wanted to get to know them. I wanted to go out for a cup of coffee. I wanted to sit at dinner somewhere and they talk to me and they open up to me and I get to know them. Come on, koinonia in the book of Acts, that relationship like they had in the book of Acts, but they kept pushing me away. They kept rejecting me. They kept ignoring me. And I would get offended about this over and over again. And then the Lord had to remind me what I'm reminding you today. Son, how do you know I'm not protecting you? There's a reason why I'm not permitting these individuals or individual in your circle. And you may not understand that and you may not see that now, but I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. I see the end of this thing. Come on, somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you've been trying to force relationships. You've been trying to force people, come on, to stay in your destiny that God don't want you in your, that God doesn't want in your circle. Now watch this. So Abraham pleaded with Lot, look, please, verse 8, let there not be strife between us. Here's what he says, is not the whole land here? Please separate from me. Did you see that? Abraham saying, please just go your way. And notice he was the gentleman and he took the low road and said, you choose first. So the Bible says that we know the story, guys, that Lot looked to the plain of Jordan and saw that it was well watered before they destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was like the garden of the Lord. And Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan. So Lot journeyed east, and they separated from one another. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. Watch this. So here it is. So now we see in Abraham's journey that there had to come a time when his circle had to get smaller. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you're going to learn either the easy way or you're going to learn the hard way. That when you truly are sold out to God and you're pursuing the Lord and you're wanting to go deeper with Him, higher with Him, and pursue all that He has, your circle that used to be really big when you started out is going to get smaller and it's going to get smaller and it's going to get smaller. Come on, Jesus was here. He'd tell you the same thing. He started out with multitudes and then it went down to 70. And then it went down to 12. And then it really got down to about 3. So it got smaller and smaller and smaller. Now watch this. Here's what I want to say. Again, let me go back to this point and try to say. Remember, Lot was not just an acquaintance. He was not a coworker. He was not a friend. He was not a neighbor. He was a relative. There's some people that's listened to this broadcast today by Facebook, by YouTube. The Lord has told you, listen, they're blood relatives to you. They could be a brother, they could be a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a nephew, a niece, a cousin, whatever the case may be. You love them. Watch me. Here's the circle. You love them. They're in here in the circle. But you know what God has spoken to you. You know where He wants to take you. You know where He wants you to go. He knows the sacrifices that He's told you to make. He knows, you know what you've got to be obedient to do and do. And as a result of it, it's going to require you possibly to have to tell some of those blood relatives, look, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But you can't go where I'm going. I know you don't understand. This is why they'll ridicule you. This is why they'll mock you. This is why they'll laugh at you. This is why they'll make fun of you. This is why they'll neglect you. This is why they'll turn their back on you. This is why they will persecute you. It's because they don't understand. Oh, let me go back to the text. Lot was not there when the Lord spoke to Abraham. It didn't say Lot was standing there. Abraham got that word in the private place. And then when he began to walk it out in the public place, I'm sure he began to relay that to his wife and Lot. So they were going on what Abraham got in the private and he began to walk out in public. So listen, God's going to speak to you things in the private place that you're going to have to walk out in the public place, and even some of your blood relatives ain't going to get it. And they're not going to want to go where you're going. And listen, if you don't learn to allow them to move on or allow the Lord to take them out, I'm going to show you that in just a second too. Because there's either one of two ways. Either, watch this, either you are going to have to come to them and say, look, I'm going left, you're going right. I'm going this way, you're going that way. Or the Lord Himself is going to step in and remove them. And He's going to tell you to begin to remove them. And if you don't remove them, guess what? He'll come and just pluck them out on His own. Why? Because He loves you that much. Because He sees things. Look, we don't know. And you say, well, why? Why would the Lord tell me to separate from this person or from that person? I don't know that, guys. I'm not God. But I can tell you this. There's some people that I didn't understand then why they're not running with me now. But now I understand because they had character flaws or because they weren't on the same accord with me. They weren't in the same vision with me. They didn't understand the desires of my heart. They didn't want to go where I was going with the Lord, and they would have ended up being a hindrance. Listen to me, a hindrance to where God was taking me. So now watch this. He was blood. Remember that Lot was blood. Just because, I want to say this to somebody, just because God may tell you to separate from some of your loved ones, don't mean that you don't love them, and don't mean that you don't talk to them anymore and that you don't help them in a crisis. Because your Bible says that even though Lot separated from Abraham, come on, his uncle, Lot went down and got himself in a mess, got himself in a bondage, and it got back to his uncle Abraham. And the Bible said that Abraham did not reject Lot. He didn't leave him abandoned. He didn't turn his back on him. No, your Bible says that Abraham took an army and went down into the enemy's camp and brought him out. Come on. And delivered him out. Listen, I've got some people. I've got some people that when I hear, listen, 25 years ago was in this circle, a big circle. But then on June 2nd of 2000, which by the way, I'm coming up on my 19-year anniversary of being born again, almost 19 years ago, when I gave my heart to the Lord, almost immediately after that, this circle started getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Now look, some of them may be watching this broadcast tonight, and they know I love them, but I just don't run with them anymore. And it's not that they're bad people. They just have a different purpose. They have a different destiny. Now there is some folks that I used to be in this circle that God had to speak to me. And that brings me to the second part. Let me go over here. Let me go to 2 Corinthians 6. Watch this. 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Can I say this? If you're a true believer, born again Christian, love God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and pursuing the will of God, listen, you're in this circle now. This is the yoke. This is where you're yoked. You don't have any business being yoked together with some of the people, come on somebody, that you used to run with. Oh, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about your weed smoking buddies. Come on, your bar hopping buddies, the drug addicts, the promiscuous people, the liars, the fornicators, the adulterers, those who still live and practice this lifestyle. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't have no interest in going to church and hearing about your God. They were here. Listen, watch what he says. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now listen to this. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Now listen to what he says. Therefore, now notice, anytime you see therefore, you have to go back and read wherefore. So let me stop. Therefore, let's go back and read wherefore. I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How many believe? That's a pretty covenantal walk with God. Remember, the Bible called Abraham a friend of God. You can't get any closer than that. He called him a friend of God. In fact, when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent two angels down there, and the Lord said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham? In other words, the Lord was saying, I cannot destroy this thing until I first reveal my plan to who I'm in covenant with, my friend Abraham. Golly! Woo-hoo. That's powerful, friend. Listen what he says. And you say, oh, my goodness. And I felt the Holy Ghost on me when I said that. I don't know about you, friends, but I want to walk with God like that. Listen, I want Him to dwell in me. I want Him to walk among me. Come on. I want to feel His presence when I'm not just in the house of God, but when I'm walking through the grocery aisle at Walmart, when I'm shopping at a Kohl's, I want to feel the presence of the Lord. And I want to know that He is my God and that I am His son. But then He says, therefore, so it's circumstantial. He says, therefore, watch this, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. Here it is again, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And some of y'all are so discouraged. I know I'm getting a little sidetracked on this. Some of y'all you've got this discouragement on you, and you feel discouraged late, and you're like, I can't feel His presence. I'm not getting this communion with the Lord like I once had, and this closeness with Him. Well, friends, I want you to evaluate who's in your circle. What's in your circle? Listen, I'm blown away every single day about what Christians justify, what they do, and what they call entertainment. Listen, you actually think you're going to sit on your sofa and have your remote control and watch a program on television that's full of graphic nudity, sexual content, blasphemy, the Lord's name in vain, graphic this, graphic that, come on, over and over and over again. And you think the Lord is just going to dwell among you and He's just going to commune with you. He's just going to speak to you. He's going to share His secret counsel with you. No, friend, it's not going to happen. Listen, you can try to come up with every justification you can. You can come at me with grace. You can come at me with mercy. You can come at me with love. You can come at me with unconditional this and unconditional that. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. We serve a holy God, a righteous God. And I still believe without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I know I'll lose some followers after this broadcast, but you know what? That'll just make my circle a little bit smaller, and that's okay. Okay, but watch, and it's interesting, let me point this out. Consequently, look at this. This is very interesting. I'm going to show you. This is what I read. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. All this. Look here. This is This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7. The very next opening statement right here. All in context with this, because the rule of interpretation of Scripture is not we just cherry pick this one verse and pull it out. No, we read the context above and we read it below. All this in context. Remember right here it says, therefore, we have to read wherefore. So we read all this, what we just read, and then we get to verse 7. Let me just tell you what chapter 7 verse 1 says. Therefore, again, therefore. Now, what did we learn? If we read therefore, we have to go back up and read wherefore. So let's read wherefore again. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now we can go to therefore, 2 Corinthians 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, friends, I don't know who this message was to tonight. I just know the Holy Ghost messed with me this morning. I wanted to preach something totally different. I had it all lined up to preach today. And when I got in my devotional time this morning, right there, this is what the Holy Ghost was speaking to me out of Genesis 12 and 13. I said, okay, God, I'm being obedient tonight to release this word. And I don't know who this word is to tonight, but I'm telling you, friends, you may try to fight against it. You may try to resist it. You may try to deny it, but whatever you want to do. Listen, if you truly are serious with the Lord and you want to walk in covenant with Him, then friends, you're going to have to yield to the process. You're going to have to yield to the process. And whether you like it or not, you can't be everybody's friend. Let me say that again. Whether you like it or not, you can't be everybody's friend. Oh, friend, I've learned that a long time ago. And don't get me started on what you're called to, because depending on what you're called to do in the body of Christ, that may mean that can also dictate how even smaller your circle can be. Unfortunately, I'm in what my calling is on my life. The circle that I have is extremely small. And it's not that I choose it. It's because I've learned the closer I get to Him, the more that I am not appealing to them. Let me say that again. The closer I get to Him, the more I'm repulsed by them. I used to have a lot of them in my life, but as I got closer to Him, they didn't want to be around me anymore. They didn't want to yoke with me anymore. They didn't want to associate with me anymore. So I've learned that, come on, by the natural process, many of these people are just removed from the circle. But I'm telling you, friends, there's going to come time, and that it may be somebody that you're really close to. It could be blood. And it's not that they're necessarily a bad person, but He may be calling you out of that circle or calling them out of the circle. Come out from among that circle, or allow the Lord to remove them out of your circle. Come on, somebody. So that's what I came by to share this word with today. So if that's you today, I just want to pray for you today right now. I'm asking for the mercy and the grace of God to enable you and empower you to be obedient to the word of the Lord tonight. That's what my prayer is tonight. So come on, just receive this blessing tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters that are on here tonight, Lord, and I believe there is individuals that are watching this via by broadcast, by Facebook Live, or by YouTube that are coming on here. And Lord, You have been dealing with them about this circle of friends in their life, this circle of acquaintances, this circle of this entourage that they have, this knitted group of individuals that You have. Lord, I remember even when I read the Gospels, Lord, You started out with a multitude. And Lord, as You progress towards the fulfillment of Your destiny, the closer, Lord, You got to the cross, the closer You came to the cross, the smaller your circle got. You started out with a multitude, and then You went to 70, and then it went to 12, and then You got down to 3, and there was only 3 there, Peter, James, and John, when You begin to get a greater download of the revelation of what You was about to endure and suffer at Calvary and at the cross. Lord, and I believe that there's some folks that are watching this broadcast tonight by Facebook or by YouTube. And Lord, the closer they get to the cross, the more they begin to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow after You, Lord, that circle is going to become smaller. And Lord, I believe there's some people that are watching tonight that can relate to what I'm talking about. They have tried and tried and tried. They've tried to make friends on Facebook, or they try to socialize with them. They try to make friends at church. They try to make friends at work. They try to make friends with neighbors. They try to associate with these people. And it's almost like they're a square peg in a round hole. Everywhere they go, it's like they don't fit in. They're the black sheep. They're the square peg in a round hole. It's like they don't fit anywhere. And Lord, let them know. And the devil would try to convince you that it's you and that it's your personality. And as long as your heart is right, if you have right standing with the Lord, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. If you're doing everything to please Him and not worried about pleasing them, then friend, I come by to tell you tonight that the devil is a liar, and it was never about you and you trying to conform to them, but it's about you doing everything right, trying to conform to Him. And Lord, I just thank You, Father, that You said in Your word that blessed are those who leave mother and father and relatives and lands and businesses for Thy name's sake, who shall not reap and be blessed 100-fold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. Lord, I believe as their circle gets smaller, Lord, I believe that whoever's remaining in that circle is going to be powerful and is going to be everything they need to help them. There was a Peter, James, and John. Lord, there's always someone. The Lord always, even you said in your word, it's not good for man to be alone. So Lord, I believe there's somebody that will remain in our circle, that will lock arms with us, and that will walk this destiny out and see us through to the other side until we fulfill that which God has spoken to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Come on, do you receive that tonight? I believe that's a powerful word for somebody tonight. I pray that, guys, let me know in the comments under Facebook. If this word was for you, just say yes or amen or thank you, Brother Ricky, for giving me that word. I received that word. So, because it's always good for us as ministers to know that we're hearing from the Spirit of God and that we're getting this. Because I am seeing a little bit of feedback here on Facebook under the comments. So again, all of you guys on YouTube, we appreciate you as well. Again, thank you for taking the time out tonight on this Monday night. Look, guys, continue to pray for all of our folks that are in line of these storms that's been going on and on and on. It's like, I think they said over 500 tornadoes has broken out. First time that we've seen this in like over 40 years in this kind of, the amount of tornadoes and the span of space. Now, the number 40 is interesting. Listen, I'm not going to say too much because I'm going to get myself in trouble. Let me just say this. Some of y'all that's still hanging on and didn't close, everybody else that dropped out of the broadcast ain't going to get this. This is a little bonus in the end. Okay? But as I was meditating on this today, there was an article that came out by someone who deals with weather patterns and whatnot, and they said that this amount of tornadoes in this short of space has not been seen in 40 years. Now, I've been praying and seeking the Lord, like, okay, is there something to this, whatnot? Now, the number, and this is all I'm going to say, and I could really elaborate on this, but I know to be, I have to be wise here, because I know, you know, the corn have ears, so I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine, but I'm just going to leave it like this. The number 40 is interesting in the Bible because it's a number of testing, it's the number of trial, and it's the number of judgment. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness by the devil, where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. When Jesus stood trial before Pontius Pilate, and when he stood trial to him, he cried out to the people of Israel and said, should we give you Barabbas or should we free Jesus? And they desired to have Barabbas. And he said, what shall we do unto this Jesus? And they say, let him be crucified. And your Bible says that Pontius Pilate pulled out a basin of water and he washed his hands in the basin of water as a sign to these people that his blood would not be upon his hand. And your Bible says that the people that were there, and that generation, and by the way, this was in 30 AD, they screamed out, let his blood be upon us and our children. So it was them, and then it was a generation. Well, a generation in the Bible is 40 years. So it's interesting, that took place in 30 AD. And then Jesus was at the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him. What will be the signs of your coming, the signs of the end of the age? One of the first things he says, look at these stones. You see these stones here? And he was pointing to the temple. And he said, not one stone shall be left upon another. This should not be thrown down. He said, the destruction of the temple will take place. And he, watch this. And that was in 30 AD. You fast forward 40 years and you come to 70 AD. And the destruction of the temple took place with the invasion of the Roman Empire, and it fulfilled the prophetic word. Number two, watch this, two things. Number one, it fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus that the temple would be destroyed. And number two, let's go back to where Pontius Pilate was standing there. Here's where I wanted to get to on this, but I have to be careful how I say this. but it was the shedding of innocent blood that caused judgment to come on one generation and then another generation after that. And that's all I'm going to stay right there. Now, you just take that how you want. You think about what's going on in the United States of America, where the battleground is going on, what is the hot topic right now, and we're going to leave it at that, and we're going to sign off tonight. Before we sign off, so what am I saying? I'm saying we need to be in prayer, guys. We need to be in heavy prayer. All right, so if you want to support us and follow our ministry, guys, you can do that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, remnantrevival.org. You can find us there as well. You can click on there on the main website, and you can subscribe to our digest, push notifications. You'll get all that into our inbox, our email. You'll get that digest continually in your inbox daily. You will also, if you would like to support this ministry, if you're blessed by this ministry, encouraged by this ministry, you're edified by this ministry, it informs you, it blesses you, and you would like to partner with us, support us, a one-time gift, whatever the case would be, we want to encourage you to do that, and you could do that right there under the support and follow ETH under Facebook Live. Just click on that link, and it's going to show you where you can go to. You'll see places on there where you can hit donate or support or whatever the case would be. If you're watching by YouTube, all that information is going to come up there on the screen as well, and you can do that as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. Listen, have a good week. Stay safe, all you guys in the tornado zones. We plead the blood of Jesus over you, over your house, over your homes, over your property, and we command these storms to cease. We command them to dissipate. We command them to split, and we ask, Father, for your mercy and your grace to be upon those under the threat of these tornadoes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. We will sign off today. We will be back on here on Friday with another word that I feel like the Lord is going to put on my heart. And it may be a prophetic update, and it may be a word like this. I just try to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. So we'll see you then, guys. God bless.